Who controls the British pound? Who keeps the metric system down? We do. We do. Who keeps Atlantis off the maps? Who keeps the Martians under wraps? We do. We do. Who holds back the electric car? Who makes Steve Gutenberg a star? Fish of their sight, who rigs every Oscar night? We do. We do.
Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military industrial complex.
Highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
On a beautiful day in the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And that would make me Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to our humble bunker. Today is D-Day.
6-6.
Plus 66 years.
Oh, that's right. It was 66 years ago today that the troops landed at Normandy.
Plus 66. They did. They landed at Normandy. I'll come in again.
The land of the Normans.
Normandy. Mm-hmm. You know, Normandy. Those Normans, they invaded in 1066.
Yeah, they crossed the other way and took out the Anglo-Saxon King Harold at the Battle of Hastings.
Yeah, there's a 66 thing. No, actually what I was going to say, the interesting thing is, you know, we remember D-Day and is with pride, I think many American patriots think about that day and how we went over to France and we, you know, participated in World War II, and it was really important that we take care of the Hun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's okay, then why can't Israel defend their own country?
You know, that's a really good point, and we'll talk about that over the course of the next hour as war talk ramps up in the Middle East, not just between Israel and Iran, which has been going on for years now, and the tough talk coming from Turkey, which has sort of taken the world, I think, by surprise a little bit. Turkey and the Israelis have been very cooperative. They were running joint military exercises.
Oh, I know. We've got lots to say about that. Now, are we going to jump into that right now, or do we have other things to jump into?
Well, there's plenty of stuff going
on. Which way do we jump?
This weekend, the Bilderberg Group meeting just outside Barcelona.
We invited them here, but they said
yeah, not enough accommodations, or rather accommodations not of a not in keeping with what most of the participants are used to.
I think it's Sam's Save the Bees agenda.
Yeah, they just weren't prepared to take that.
No,
No, they're more concerned with bailing out the EU, with what to do about Iran, and probably, I would guess, the situation in Israel right now is taking the world by surprise. Well, taking them by surprise. They didn't have time to add that to the official agenda, probably, which they prepare well in advance. So the Bilderberg Group, about 130 attendees. I thought it was 300, but I think that's sort of the what are they? The floating crap game number or whatever. That's the number of unofficial members that have been. And
I thought it was the number of Spartans who held that one pass.
Yeah, that's probably true.
I was just picturing the people who attend Bilderberg that, you know, tend to be there. Most of them are over 50. You know, standing there at that pass dressed as Spartans.
Yeah, I could just see Henry Kissinger, David Rockefeller. It's not a pleasant thought.
It's like Mr. Burns.
Mm-hmm. Hey. Excellent. We kind of touched on the membership list last week, so we won't go over that again. But of course, Alex Jones is making hay about this, saying that Bilderberg is running scared. Interesting this week, I did a little search for Bilderberg just before we began recording to see if the mainstream media is reporting on it. And actually they are, at least the British press is. The Telegraph and The Guardian both have articles about it. They've got reporters on site at this resort outside Barcelona, which leads to, I think, reinforces my theory, which I talked about in View from the Bunker Live on Friday night, that these people are just useful idiots.
What, the Telegraph or the Bilderbergers?
The Bilderberg group members. They think that they actually control the show, that they are in charge of what happens, that they are dictating what will happen for the rest of us for the course over the next year. But they're not really running the show. They are pawns, useful idiots for the real power, which are the entities that we don't see, or at least most of us don't see. Thankfully, I can't say I've ever claimed to see a fallen angel.
It's the Daleks.
Well, the Cybermen would argue that point, but setting that aside, the real powers behind the these flesh and blood opponents are the ones really calling the shots and pulling the strings. And so the Bilderberg Group, which draws the attention of conspiracy theorists around the world, gives Alex Jones an opportunity to go stand with a bullhorn and, you know, create YouTube videos. They're not really running the show. And as Christians, we need to recognize that, not get caught up in the conspiracy theorist hype. Ephesians 6:12, we are not wrestling against flesh and blood opponents. These people, some of them, the globalists, may understand what they're doing. And they may understand that they're willing minions of these fallen angels. But there are others out there who may actually think, poor saps, that they're actually running the show.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, getting back to the Doctor Who analogy, there was a Doctor Number 10, a David Tennant episode with the Rattigan Academy, and it was the Sontaran stratagem. It was a two-part episode, and the Rattigan genius, who had come up with all sorts of inventions, he had gotten every really, really super intelligent teen in the world together, all good looking ones, of course. And they were, he was having them do things like create atmospheric transformers and things like that. And he had worked out a deal with, he thought, with these aliens that they were going to bring down the Earth, that they were going to destroy it. And that these super intelligent humans, led by Rattigan, were going to get to go to this other planet and create their own colony.
Yeah, well, sort of a Dr. Strangelove thing.
We must propagate the human race.
My Fiora! Something like that. And when they all turned on him, on Rattigan, and said, "We're not doing that. We're going home to see if our families are okay," as you know, chaos was breaking out throughout England. He went back up to the ship where the Sontarans were and said, "I'm really sorry. They all bailed on me. They're cowards." And the head Sontaran said, "Oh, that's too bad. I guess we won't have our target practice after all."
Yeah.
And he said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Do you really think that we weren't going to take you to another planet? We were going to kill you all."
That's a very good analogy. And
it took me a long time to finally get to the end of it. But that is, I think, what's going on. The humans who are involved with these spiritual beings, they are foolish enough to think that somehow they're going to get to reign with and they will for a very short time. But then they'll be destroyed.
So while the activities of those at the Bilderberg Group are worth paying attention to, because it gives us some indication of the Sontaran stratagem, let's not get too worried about, let's not get too caught up in it or too worried about it, because ultimately they're going to be first against the wall when the revolution comes. So, you know, let's not get too freaked out about it.
Well, you know, getting back to the whole thing that the Telegraph and the other newspapers and it's starting to become more public. A couple of things on that. One of I think is that's a meme that we're supposed to believe that the revelation that the super group is finally breaking through and that we're all getting secret knowledge about this group. My guess is that the Bilderberg meetings have now become a showpiece. And the real meetings are taking place elsewhere.
Very true. In fact, I alluded to that in my novel, The God Conspiracy. Do you really think that that these world leaders who can't go out for a hot dog without attracting press coverage are going to do anything in secret, even if the media that's in attendance is sworn to secrecy? Chatham House rules. Chatham House rules. If you write about anything you hear here, you can't attribute it to anybody. Well, okay, you know, and there is an ethical concern with representatives of government, and there are several government representatives from the United States and other nations in attendance this weekend, reportedly, getting together off the record with leaders of business and finance and so forth, and the chief technology officer for Microsoft. There are some ethical questions, serious ethical questions about that. But ultimately, again, as Christians, is that our concern? We know this is going to happen. It was prophesied that this was going to happen, that we are going to see the move toward a one-world government. And while we watch this as, you know, as just more signposts along the road, getting freaked out about it and celebrating that mainstream outlets like The Guardian and The Telegraph, and then the Drudge Report, which is spreading it around here in this side of the ocean, are paying attention. Let's not celebrate, because, as you say very wisely, the real meetings between the human participants are taking place elsewhere, and of course the strings are being pulled from another dimension. So that's going on. While that's happening, let's talk. Speaking of another dimension here, we've got this week, and this
you mean that portal that just opened up.
Possibly, or perhaps the portal that they're trying to open up in Denver. The title of this week's episode may well be A Tale of Two Airports, because there are a couple of weird things happening. Not news, but just odd enough that we want to call your attention to them. The Denver airport is one of the weirdest places on Earth. Not just weird airports, but I mean, it's just one of the weirdest places on Earth. Denver International, not the old Stapleton airport, but the international airport there, if you've never done any research into the artwork at the Denver International Airport, you should. It is really, really, well, disturbing.
Yeah, I think that's an understatement. The murals in that airport seem to depict some kind of post-apocalyptic world.
Mm-hmm.
Where, frankly, the Judeo-Christian ethic is dead,
well, yeah.
And there are gas mask-wearing Nazi kind of, you know, guys with huge guns standing over crying children.
Yeah, I'm looking at some of the pictures in the mural right now, and there's a blonde-headed girl with pigtails, and she is clutching, and she's lying in a coffin, eyes closed, and doesn't look all that peaceful either.
Doesn't she have a Star of David on her clothing and a cross?
Yes, a Star of David and a cloth and a cross, rather, and a rose, a daisy, a couple of shamrocks, in this little cluster of flowers. And there's something else here. It looks like an oyster or a pocket watch. I can't really tell at this resolution. But she's lying in a coffin. Then on the other, there's another child who is looks African. She's wearing clothing that is, it could be African or Caribbean, I can't tell. But another flower, and she's got what appears to be a, homemade musical instruments, like a guitar sort of instrument, possibly. I could be really misinterpreting that and really opening up some questions about my lack of knowledge here, and a drum. But they're lying in coffins, dead. And then, of course, you've got the, as you mentioned, the gas-masked stormtrooper with a huge sword in one hand and a gun, an automatic weapon, in the other, with a burning building and crying children below him, and rather bizarrely, a rainbow that's streaming from the barrel of his gun.
Mm-hmm.
It is really...
It's order really, out of chaos.
Yeah, it is...
And it, just with that in mind... The stone, the plaque that's there in the airport.
Yeah.
Founding in 1994.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a...
By the Masons.
Yeah, it's a Freemasonic stone, which is the dedication capstone laid by the most worshipful masters of a couple of different lodges. On March 19th of 1994. Now, of course, 3-19, when you add the 3, the 1, and the 9, you get 13. 1994, add those numbers, 1, 9, you get 10, and then 9, 4, 13. So 10-13, which is a reminder of the date in history in which King Philip the Fair purged the Knights Templar.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, 13, another significant occultic number. But, and it was called the New World Airport Commission.
1013, October 13th, was also the first day that the Marian apparition appeared at Fatima.
Mm-hmm. That's, yes, very true. And this memorial capstone contains, it says, messages underneath the stone, messages and memorabilia to the people of Colorado in 2094. So it's a time capsule as well. But, yeah, interesting the date, and the artwork there is really bizarre. Now, that was just the background for the stuff that's been going on recently. There was,
if you're still awake.
Yeah. A couple of statues that have been added to the collection of bizarre and disturbing art at the Denver International Airport. First, and you may have seen the stories about this, the giant blue stallion rearing up on his hind legs with glowing red eyes. I mean, they light it from the inside, so the eyes glow, and you see at night this creepy specter of this huge blue Mustang. And we're not talking, you know, the good kind with the V8. We're talking this giant demonic horse that's been nicknamed Blucifer.
Mm-hmm.
Now, added to that, they just last week erected a statue of the Egyptian god of death, Anubis, at the airport. Now, that's part of that King Tut exhibit that's traveling around the country. It was in New York City a few weeks ago.
I know. It just seems so odd to have Anubis there next to this horse.
Anubis and Blucifer and the gas mask-wearing Nazi killing kids on the walls at the Denver International Airport. It is really bizarre. Now, there was a story that we talked about a few years ago that went quiet. You remember former CIA director Porter Goss back in 2005 said that he wanted to move CIA headquarters from Langley, Virginia, to, guess where? Denver.
Mm-hmm.
I went looking for the story today to see if what progress they're making on it, and I haven't seen anything in the media at all. After that initial flurry of stories.
Was it Denver or Colorado Springs?
Denver. This was back in, well, almost 5 years ago exactly. CIA plans to shift work to Denver, May 6, 2005, Washington Post. CIA has plans to relocate the headquarters of its domestic division responsible for operations and recruitment in the United States from its CIA Langley headquarters to Denver. A move designed to promote innovation, according to U.S. intelligence and law enforcement officials. So the domestic division, perhaps not all of its operations, but the domestic division was supposed to be moved to Denver. Couldn't find anything as to whether or not that's happened. Supposedly, according to some information posted to the web that I can't verify or authenticate, a building is being built next to DIA headquarters, Defense Intelligence Agency headquarters in Denver.
DIA?
Yeah.
Denver International Airport?
Or maybe it's DIA Denver International Airport. I hadn't thought about that. Huh. So anyway, more research needed, but I just thought that was an interesting tie into this whole story. So we got the God of Death, Blucifer, all this other stuff, and possibly the CIA's domestic division now in Denver.
Well, Colorado. Possibly, and I remember reading articles a few years back that there was talk about moving, about building essentially Washington, D.C. in Colorado, so that if the East Coast were ever taken out,
mm-hmm.
they would just take up, you know, seamlessly in Colorado.
I don't know. There is a long-held theory in conspiracy circles that Denver was chosen because it's supposedly the safest place on the North American continent.
Isn't it also where the Stargate is?
Well, yeah.
It is.
Yeah, underneath the mountain there where NORAD is. So, you know. But we'll have to watch that and see what happens. I can't find anything one way or the other as to whether this move has taken place. We saw the stories 5 years ago, mm-hmm. May of 2005, and nothing really since then as to whether the CIA has, in fact, moved its domestic operations to the Denver area. But kind of an odd place to put it. For a couple of reasons, you mentioned Colorado Springs, which would be even more interesting considering that it seems to be the hub of so many Christian right dominionist organizations.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's a coincidence at all. And let me tell you, here's what I find so interesting about Colorado, and especially Denver area. If you go down the longitude
mm-hmm.
of 184, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Goes through Dick Cheney's area of Wyoming.
Oh, his home ranch
mm-hmm.
there, basically?
Cuts down through the the Denver area and ends up at Roswell.
Just coincidence, I'm sure. It and we should make it clear that we don't buy into the power or of specific locations necessarily, latitude, longitude, but certainly the occultists do. And from the work of David Flynn, it seems that these fallen angels ascribe significance to certain places on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
His article on the occult significance of the Roswell 1947 crash and tying it to Mount Hermon and 2012 is mind-bending, but the math works out. So, trying to find the International Coalition of Apostles. I think Peter Wagner's Global Harvest Ministries is located in Colorado Springs. I know Ted Haggard's former church is in Colorado Springs, mm-hmm. and Wagner's ministry was located on the campus of Haggard's church there for a while until they had a falling out.
Mm-hmm.
He now attends Dutch Sheets' church, which, again, I believe is in the Colorado Springs area. So I'm looking to see, well, might have to do that further on later, but certainly there are any number of other organizations that are focused on the family, and probably you could fill half a phone book with Christian ministries that are based in and around Colorado Springs.
And don't forget that Pueblo, Colorado, is...
We always write the government printing office for all the free stuff.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. So we've got the two...
And Mork and Mindy. They were in Colorado, too.
That's true.
Boulder. Was it Boulder?
I think so. Long time ago. Anyway, the other airport we wanted to call to your attention is in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
This is something we stumbled on today, and it was this through an email that was sent to us? Or?
Through an email that was going around, and I will say that it was sent... I think it was originally sent to us by Larry Taylor, and I think he received it from Sue Bradley.
Oh, okay.
And she got it from somebody else, so it's going through the network, so to speak. And I think Sue made a couple of comments on her sort of her take on a couple of things in there. But it is an interesting email, so thanks to Larry and Sue
mm-hmm.
for sending it to us.
And I will put a link to the article here because it gets a little convoluted to explain. But the link will go to the website of A. True Ott, who has posted this, and along with coordinates on Google Earth or Google Maps, either one will work, so that you can verify this for yourself. But there's an airport in northeast Florida, south of Jacksonville. It's in Clay County, called the Reynolds Air Park. It was a former airbase, now in... private hands and leased by the local government there, I believe. It, according to information on the tax rolls, it is wholly owned by a company called Pegasus International, which has a lot of holdings and does a lot of work in the oil business, construction management and things like that for offshore rigs and just drilling platforms and things like that. When you zoom in on this little airport on Google Maps or Google Earth, you see that most of the runways, and there are about four or five runways on this airport, and only one of them is really open for planes. The rest of them are covered with white vans parked in rows of five across. Thousands of them.
It is the most bizarre picture. And honestly, when I looked at it, the first thing I thought of is this spelling out something? And Derek said, it looks like an old punch card. They are definitely in rows of five, and there are occasionally there's a van missing. It's not like they have, all of the bays filled. It just reminds me of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think data card may be a good way to put it. Or, if you look at this picture and you understand what it is, if you see, if you're a genius and you recognize if there's a language there, I'd love to know what it means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bizarre picture. And I'll post that picture to the show notes at PIDradio.com.
Well, and they may have been sitting there for as long as 2 years based on what I was reading in the email, if the information is correct as to the oldest photograph known with those same pictures, the same vans there. And again, verifying the exact date that the photographs were taken at Google Maps.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to look at it at Google Earth today, and I couldn't get Google Earth to work right. It's that PC. I'm still trying to get on my Mac. It would have worked. But then the most recent one, from what we understand, was around April or May of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
No, 2010.
Well, there was a story that as of May 28th, those vans were still there. Now, there are other...
2010.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2008 is the first picture, so 2 years.
Right. And May 28th, 2010 is basically a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are stories that have been posted, or updates that we can't substantiate that have been posted to
can't.
The Internet.
I can tell you that if you go to this one website, which we'll be glad to put in the show notes... it's a airport finder or airport data or something like that. And it has a photo that was taken either in April or May of 2010.
Mm-hmm. And there are other people who claim to have gone to this airport, this Reynolds Air Park, and found that all of these vehicles are now gone.
Mm-hmm.
Someone else claims that, well, this is being used as a regional distribution hub for an auto manufacturer, and they just store...
Which makes no sense.
Well, I'm not aware of any auto plants in the
area.
Well,
didn't you say it was supposedly for a Kia plant?
Somebody wrote that it was for Kia Motors.
The closest Kia Motors is too far away for this to be a regional hub.
It wouldn't make a lot of sense. The Kia Motors plant is in West Georgia, actually closer to Auburn, Alabama, closer than to Jacksonville, Florida. But... The story was that this was being used to store vehicles before they were shipped out to dealers, and that they weren't all white. They were just covered with like a white protective plastic sheet.
But they're all the same shape.
And they're all the same shape, right.
They're clearly all the same vehicle.
When you look at them from the overhead picture, you don't see a rear window, which indicates they're probably a van,
mm-hmm.
or a station wagon at least, but either a van or an SUV, not a sedan or a coupe. So, yeah. And there are, again... hundreds anyway, maybe even a couple thousand, just sitting at this little airport there, and it's the most bizarre thing. And we have no clue as to what this is all about. There are all kinds of theories out there being spun. Oh, it's the United Nations, and they're ready to come and take us away. Ha ha.
But there we have more research we want to do on this. But according to the email, that in that same park there were offices for Cerberus.
Cerberus International, which is the parent company. It's an investment group. It's basically...
Cerberus/DynCorp.
Yes. They acquired DynCorp International, which is a company that has been contracting with the government for a long time. DynCorp employees were accused of essentially running a sex ring as they were providing security and support services to forces in Bosnia some years back. Cerberus is also the company that bought Chrysler from Daimler.
Mm-hmm.
Daimler couldn't make Chrysler work, and Cerberus came in and bought the company, and a year later had to declare bankruptcy.
And don't they essentially have GMAC now?
They've got a 51% stake in GMAC. Right. So, which... is interesting because this Cerberus Corporation and through the United States government is getting all sorts of bailout money directly in the form of the government intervention in GM and Chrysler, but through DynCorp. Presumably, they're still. I've not read anything that DynCorp has been cut out of government contracts.
And who's the head of Cerberus?
The head of Cerberus, the CEO as of now, I believe, is John Snow, who was the former Secretary of the Treasury under George W. Bush.
Wasn't he involved in a scandal?
I'm going to have to look that up. I think you're right, but I don't know any details.
Something Swift or something like that? Look up John Snow and Swift.
John Snow... fingers not Swift.
I don't know that I'm remembering it right.
Nope, that's not it.
Oh, well, just put scandal.
Jon Snow, scandal. Hmm. Nope, not finding anything obvious.
Well, never mind. If there was one, we'll find it later. Yeah. I thought I had found something on that at one time, but anyway.
It may have been that he was just not, well.
I'm going to blame my medication.
That's it. And I'll back you up on that.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what else is going on around the planet? The flotilla, the Freedom Flotilla, and the political fallout from that. The Irish-flagged ship, the Rachel Corrie, was intercepted by the Israelis without incident and presumably taken to Ashdod. And then once the cargo is inspected, that that material will be transferred to Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly, I saw a report from a Danish reporter who went to Gaza to look for the humanitarian crisis that these supplies were supposed to prevent or stave off. And he said, you know, I'm not really seeing it. I'm seeing a lot of people complaining that they need everything, that they need everything from food to drink to, you know, whatever. But the people who are doing the complaining are standing in the middle of a market full of potatoes and vegetables and milk and eggs. And, you know, so it doesn't seem like they're actually starving here. Yeah, I mean, things are bad, but it doesn't seem to be the imminent crisis that the world is being told that it is. And I think this reinforces what we talked about before, that this is a battle that's not being fought on the ground, on the streets of Gaza, or even on the waters of the Mediterranean. This is a battle that's being fought in the press and in the social media.
Absolutely. In fact, when you are on Facebook, or when you are looking at Drudge Report, or when you're looking at any, you know, you're just Googling for information on the latest stories that you follow in geopolitical terms, you are actually on the battlefield,
mm-hmm.
because the prince and the power of the air controls the internet. God uses the internet for his purposes, even though it is in the hands of the enemy right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we are on the internet and we're trying to find out what the truth is, we literally are standing on a virtual battlefield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why when we first started writing, one of the taglines or slug lines we were using for the series of books that we were writing, the series of novels, was Welcome to the Battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're on it, whether we recognize it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And wishing or pretending that it doesn't exist doesn't change reality.
No.
So the two sides are tweeting and updating Facebook furiously left and right to try to convince the rest of the world of their positions. I don't think we can say this often enough. I mean, we do live. Boy, Sam is really getting noisy over there, isn't he?
He is.
Was he rooting out truffles?
He's snoring.
He sounds like he's.
If he's gonna, hey, if you're getting any truffles, I want them.
Yeah,
I need them on Farmville.
It's really exciting living at a time in history. I mean, exciting, not always fun, because certainly people are suffering in many parts of the world where these things are taking place, as we see the earth changes happening, like the storms that recently struck Guatemala and left those bizarre sinkholes.
And they really are there.
Yeah.
They look photoshopped in the one photo, but we found a slideshow of 14 images.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really there.
Yeah. And certainly there are people caught in the crossfire between the IDF and militant Islamists in Jerusalem and around Israel, and they're suffering. But when you consider that, prophecy tells us that we will see Jesus return, that the whole world will see Jesus return in the clouds, and that the whole world will watch the two witnesses in Jerusalem as they are destroyed by the beast and then raised from the dead 3 days later. The whole world will watch. And when you think that you can now do that on a droid,
or on the phone in your pocket,
or an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. I mean, this is the first time in history when this could literally happen. I mean, it's technologically feasible, and even skeptics who might have dismissed the idea that somehow supernaturally we would have all seen Jesus at every point in the globe at one moment, now have to admit that technology, thanks to satellites and digital imagery and streaming video, can watch it happen in real time. Amazing.
I was just thinking about, again, back to Doctor Who. Everything you ever wanted to know about geopolitics and conspiracy theories can be discerned by watching Doctor Who and or Lost.
Hmm.
Back to Doctor Who. The Cybermen that you mentioned earlier in the parallel universe, the people had, the much like the headphones that we're wearing now, they had little earbuds that they wore that looked like miniature headphones that they were inserted into their ears. And they were actually, they had different decorative designs you could get. Some were diamond encrusted. So if you really wanted upscale ones, or you could get very basic ones. But it allowed you to listen into essentially what was the audio internet. You heard your news, you heard even the joke of the day. Everything was given to you at the same time every day. Everybody was fed the news. And then at a time when the shadow government, the leader, wanted it, you were also turned on. A switch was flipped, and you suddenly were, you became an automaton.
Black Awakening.
Except that they weren't fighting, they were just being led like sheep to slaughter, to be upgraded.
Yeah, and another episode which featured the return of the Master, which was really interesting, well played by was it John Sim. John Sim, where the entire world's communications were connected through a satellite network called Archangel. Yeah, so some interesting choices made by the executive producers there for Doctor Who.
And the Archangel network had a signal in it that essentially made you do whatever he wanted you to do.
Exactly.
I don't know why I voted for him. He just seemed, I don't know what his platform was. He just seemed really nice. You know, change.
Hope.
Hope. Yeah.
What does he stand for? I don't know. Just liked him. That's all. But getting back to the confrontation, the rhetoric coming from Turkey has been pretty heated. Prime Minister Erdogan, in fact, a couple of days ago, threatened to go along to accompany the next flotilla, which would be, you know, on the assumption that the Israelis wouldn't dare to stop the vessel if the head of state of another nation was on that vessel.
Well, he better watch it if he does.
Yeah. Well, the Turks are really angry, and they don't take guff from anybody. But neither does the Israeli military. So this could really be an interesting showdown. And there are interesting in the let's glue ourselves to the TV because we're watching prophecy unfold in front of our eyes. Possibly
it really could. And let me just interject this real. I know you're going somewhere, but I just want to make sure. President Erdogan has been pro West and pro Islam at the same time.
Yeah.
Because he has to walk a tightrope in order to stay in office.
Mm-hmm.
And he may be thinking this is his chance to win over the people who are really pro-Islam in his country, the hardliners who would like to take him out. But if he steps on board one of those boats, he may be taken out and become a martyr. And that way they get rid of him, and at the same time get the entire world to condemn Israel.
Yeah, that's a really good point. He would serve more, and not that we're experts on Turkish politics by any stretch, but it doesn't take a lot of imagination to believe that some radical elements would find Erdogan more useful dead than alive. The world was almost unanimously appalled and shocked by what Israel did anyway. And boy, did you see, was it P.J. Crowley? I wonder, P.J. Crowley, who's spokesman for the State Department, who really danced when Shepard Smith on Fox News tried to pin him down on the United States official position on the attack, which left 9 Turks dead.
Well, we're trying to see, really, we're sifting through the information to see what's really going on. Isn't there one? Well,
yeah.
Yoink.
It was really he was really uncomfortable. And Shepard Smith was really trying to pin him to the wall. I mean, the mm-hmm. rest of the world has an official position. Doesn't the United States government have an official position on this? But rabbis in Israel representing a what's called the Rabbinical Council of Judea and Samaria are saying that a coming confrontation triggered by the incident with the Freedom Flotilla may trigger the Gog-Magog War of Ezekiel 38 and 39.
There is a rabbi in Israel. Is this the one you're talking about? Who has been saying for several years now that Ezekiel 38 and 39 are going to be fulfilled very quickly, very soon. And I wish I could remember his name. I apologize for that. But it's as if he suddenly woke up.
Well, Israel National News, Israel National News is reporting the story that, according to the council, and I quote now, the legitimacy of our people is not derived from the nations of the world and their poisonous traditions, rather from the Torah of Israel, which teaches us that Israel is a people that shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. The council was assembled by Rabbi Zalman Melamed of Beit El, B-E-I-T-L, I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, Beit El, and is supported by Zionist rabbis in Samaria and Judea. Again, the reference to the Gog-Magog conflict is a prophecy from Ezekiel, mm-hmm. in which an invader from the north is literally drawn into the conflict. You know, the Lord says to Gog of Magog, that's Gog being the leader of this nation, Magog, mm-hmm. That I will put hooks in your jaws and pull you with all of your military, all your fighting men and armaments to make war against Israel, which will be residing peacefully, a land of unwalled villages. Now, what's interesting here is that this council identifies Gog of Magog, or Magog, as Turkey. And many prophecy scholars over the years have identified this as Russia. And then among the nations that are listed as allies of Magog are Meshech, Tubal, some nations we can identify very easily, like Persia, Iran, mm-hmm. Kush, which is Libya, Ethiopia, and Put, which is Libya. But then also Gomer and Beth Togarma. And Togarma is a son of Gomer. Now, mm-hmm. Gomer has often been identified as Germany, which is interesting in light of the fact that President Medvedev is in Berlin meeting with Prime Minister Merkel this mm-hmm. weekend for a couple of days of talks. It's worth discussing. Is Ezekiel 38 about a Russian-German invasion, or is it about an invasion from Islamic forces headed up by Turkey?
It may be both. It may be that Turkey will start it and Russia will come in. I think one of the reasons that Russia is often considered to be Gog of Magog is that it is Rosh, mm-hmm. which means head.
Mm-hmm.
Rosh, I think, is one of the root words that we get the modern word Russia. Also, you have Meshech and Tobolsk,
mm-hmm.
Tubal, which mm-hmm. is often said that's Moscow and Tobolsk, which are in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the uttermost north is one of the limiters regarding the Gog-Magog invasion,
mm-hmm.
that it's the king of the uttermost north. And the furthest north would be Russia, mm-hmm. not Turkey. But it could well be that it's both, because Russia is playing ball with Iran and Turkey, and that Gog-Magog alliance includes Persia. And we have talked about this before. I don't think Israel is going to attack Iran before the Gog-Magog war, because Israel is a land of peace,
mm-hmm.
at peace, which means that they have not started a war. They are not participating in a war. And also, Persia is involved in it, and everybody's surprised that the invasion is happening. If Israel were to strike first, the world would not be the least bit surprised by it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it will bear watching. there are all kinds of opinions on this. I've been going back and I've just begun rereading Islam and Armageddon by Dr. Michael Heiser.
Oh, that's a great book.
And he identifies the peoples as all from ancient Anatolia, which is essentially mm-hmm. Turkey, Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia today, that region between the Caspian Sea and the Mediterranean.
I'm raising my hand here.
And he also places this war after, the Gog-Magog War, after Armageddon. But he also says that this, and many like many prophecies in the Bible, is what you call an already and not yet mm-hmm. fulfillment.
I think that there are a number of prophecy scholars that put Gog-Magog at the end of the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ, because it is one of the prophecies that mm-hmm. at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan would be loosed and that there would be a Gog-Magog invasion. But there are reasons to believe that it is a twofold thing, that it's going to happen before the 7-year tribulation period.
Mm-hmm.
And also, again, in other words, they didn't succeed the first time, so they're going to try it one more time at the end. One of the reasons that I think it's going to happen before is because we see the prophecy that Israel will burn the implements of war mm-hmm. left over when Gog-Magog invasion happens. The Lord God Almighty himself will deliver Israel. He will miraculously take down these armies, and all of their implements of war will be left in the fields, and Israel will burn them,
mm-hmm.
actually use them for fuel for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's the period of the tribulation period.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also important, and I was telling you, we were talking, sitting on our front porch this morning, and you should have been there with us, because it was a beautiful morning, nice breeze, and we were just sitting there talking prophecy. And I said, you know, long ago I was taught to look at prophecy and try to imagine how God views it. And I think that's extremely important. But lately I've tried to look at it more as a criminal profiler and try to see it as the Antichrist would see it. What in his mind would have to happen for him to be able to fool the world?
Uh-huh. Good point.
And one of those would be that if he's going to proclaim himself to be Christ, he's got to be able to come in at the end of the Battle of Armageddon,
mm-hmm.
which means that the world armies are gathered in Israel. Well, the Gog-Magog War would fit the bill.
That's true. And only discerning, I mean really discerning Christians will know the difference. And
mm-hmm.
so we look at this and say, you know, you're not really fitting all of the conditions that were laid out in Scripture here in prophecy. So we're not going to believe that you are, because we didn't see you coming in a cloud with an army of angels. Or, well, the UFOs, what did you think? That's
what. No, there are some Christians who are being trained to serve in a literal army.
Mm-hmm.
You've been doing a lot of research on this.
Well, dominionism in general, and there are a number of different. We were sent a video that we need to watch, and I've got a copy of it now that we can stream from the laptop here to the big TV downstairs, called Jesus Camp, and you know, listeners may be already familiar with this, may already have watched it. It's presented from a. Not a Christian perspective, but they claim they tried to give it a fair, impartial perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It's very dominionist in essentially trying to train young people to...
Have we gone an hour?
No, we're only at about 47 minutes, 48 minutes so far.
Sam, you're running fast.
Yeah. The Joel's Army movement, which again teaches that the army described in chapter 2 of the book of Joel is an army that will be comprised of believers, a select group of believers, in whom Jesus Christ will incarnate. They will become little gods. And this army will then go forth to kick...
Like each one of them is a cell?
Essentially.
In a divine body, in a divine cell within...
Something like that. Yeah, they will become Jesus. They will become Jesus' body on earth. Little gods going forth to kick butt and take names to set up the kingdom of God. And because of a twisted interpretation of 1 Peter 4:17, which says that judgment will come first to the church. They believe the first ones against the wall when the on the day of the Lord will be Christians like us who say, you guys are ate up. You've got the Jesus Camp movement. You've got some of the initiatives put forward by Lou Engle through the call, where he's looking for a group of Nazarites. He's looking for young people to commit to a Nazarite vow to go forward and build the kingdom. You've got and this was really disturbing. And I won't say where this came from, but we were tipped off to this through a listener to Dr. Future's program, Future Quake. There is a group in Vancouver that is a Salvation Army command in Vancouver has created something they call, what is it, the War Camp? Let me, let me pull this up here. The War College, I'm sorry, the War College, which is a name derived from the War College of the United States Army, where they basically plan strategy and tactics and study war. And when you look at the principles involved with the War College, the Salvation Army's War College now, and the people who are on the board of reference, and the writing that they've done and some of the teachings that they've brought to other Salvation Army commands around North America, this War College unit is teaching flat out dominionism. They are tied very deeply with the New Apostolic Reformation, getting back to C. Peter Wagner and his Global Harvest Ministries. In fact, they are affiliated with the Wagner Leadership Institute. One of the people on the board of directors here, the board of reference, I should say, is, Patricia King. She's got a website called extremeprophetic.com.
Wasn't she in Washington?
I don't know if she was part of the group in Washington, but another... another woman who is on this board of reference is Stacy Campbell.
Oh, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Stacy Campbell. Patricia King, by the way, is one of the visiting visiting faculty of this War College. Stacy Campbell is on the board of reference, so-called, and she was present at the commissioning ceremony for Todd Bentley down in Lakeland, Florida, back in 2008, where C. Peter Wagner and Rick Joyner, Shay On, Bill Johnson, and I believe Paul Kane was there, went there to commission Todd Bentley as an evangelist. And Stacy Campbell, you know, spoke a word over him, and her head was shaking so fast she almost looked like something from a science fiction novel where, you know, people, or science fiction movie where people's heads spin so fast that you can't, they just, and she kept making that snaky hiss sound there. Just unbiblical. And frankly, she looked like she was overshadowed by a spirit or possessed. But these are the people who are somehow have become connected to the War College for the Salvation Army, which trains young people in how to go out and speak prophetic words over others, and how to conduct strategic level spiritual warfare as taught by C. Peter Wagner. So apparently, and I need to do a lot more research in this, and I know Mike Bennett, Dr. Future, is on this as well, to find out what's going on within the Salvation Army. Now, I don't think they've got a top-down structure where it's where the activities of every regional command is dictated from London, which is the international office. So this may be a couple of regional commands that are that have gone rogue. I don't know. But it is very clear from the website, which is thewarcollege.com, and I'll link to that in the show notes, that there's more going on here than ringing a bell in front of a bucket on the holidays and providing shelter and clothing to people in need. So there's something else at work here. And it's
strange
not...
Strange days.
Yes. It, disturbing. Because, you know, you think the Salvation Army, they do good work. And they do good work.
They do. They really do. They do.
Absolutely. I have donated literally gallons of blood to blood drives organized by the Salvation Army through the course of my life. Literally gallons.
They call you every week.
Well, that's...
It seems like they do.
Yeah, this is a freelance group. That's not the Salvation Army. But we'll do more research on that, because it just points up the need to be so discerning as a Christian, because the enemy outside the gates, the ones who are openly opposing the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're easy to spot.
Mm-hmm.
We know who they are, the people inside the churches who are saying, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus Christ. One Lord, you know, he is the Lord, the Savior of all. And, oh, by the way, we need to retake the planet. What? Wait, what?
Well, you know, God says in his word that if it were possible, mm-hmm. even the very elect would be fooled.
Right.
That's if it were possible. And I think that tells me, and I hope it tells you, that God himself will keep us, even if we're trying our very best to stay awake. And if you look at the parable of the virgins, they're not awake.
Mm-hmm.
They sleep. They finally wake up there toward the last. That even if we try our best to keep watch and stay awake and stay informed, that we're not going to do a perfect job. He himself is going to have to be the one who sort of shakes us up and mm-hmm. says, pay attention.
Yeah. Speaking of, by the way, the new Apostolic Reformation, I did confirm Global Harvest Ministries, C. Peter Wagner's International Coalition of Apostles, Colorado Springs. Chuck Pierce is on the website. He is the heir apparent to take over this movement when Dr. Wagner moves on to another time-space continuum. He's in his 80s.
Doesn't Chuck Pierce have a new prophecy out?
That's what exactly I was going to point out here. A new prophecy just posted to the Elijah List by Chuck Pierce.
It's just in.
Yeah, heir apparent to become presiding apostle of the International Coalition of Apostles. His new prophecy titled, An Army is Arising in the Earth. The Lord apparently telling him that an apostolic prophetic shift and reformation into the next season is occurring. This is based on his recent trips to Canada and South America. He says a whole new force will arrive, and I thought this was significant. I say to this land that you stand in, and the opposing forces that would pull it apart, from what is now being pulled apart, from down deep, a whole new force will arise. What was to govern now will not govern, for you will create a new structure that governs this entire land. End quote. That's the point of dominionism. They're on a divine mission to take over the earth. Don't see that anywhere in the New Testament. Anywhere.
You know, there are so many things in that statement. He pictures the Hegelian dialectic, you know, opposing forces, and then something new would come out of it. He also talks about a shift taking place. He talks about things coming from under mm-hmm. the earth. This is not a pretty picture.
No. No, and you have to look past the superficial Christian rhetoric to see what the true belief system is. And as Christians, we have to stand against it. We need to thank some people.
Oh, are we getting close to it?
We
I don't have a
close.
Clock in front of me.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
we need to work that out.
That's what that was.
Yeah. I was waving high.
Just waving. Yeah. He's got five fingers up. Yeah. How cute. Before we get to that, I want to suggest that everybody who likes a good political thriller from a Christian worldview,
ooh, yeah,
take a look at this website, sambatterman.com. SambatterMan, I think,
mm-hmm.
.com. He sent me a book, and I want to thank you, Sam, for sending it to me. It's called Way Back, and it is wonderful.
And I can tell you that Sharon doesn't offer high praise for...
I read a lot of books.
Many
and
other
this
fiction
one,
writers.
This one, it is so well written.
Science fiction, Christian, Nazis. It's got all the good
it
stuff.
It starts yeah. out in World War II with the bell.
Oh.
The Nazi bell.
Which has been a hot topic for ufologists for years.
Yes, it is a really good book.
Well, I look forward to reading that. I've just started in on a book called Vengeance is Ours, The Church in Dominion by Al Dacre of Media Spotlight Ministries. And I'm looking forward to reading this. It's well written, and it's been cited as a source by several of the people that I've interviewed recently about dominionism. So looking forward to reading that, and hopefully the opportunity to talk with... Al Dacre about his research and about the scriptural deviation of this dominionist heresy.
He's been standing on the front lines for a long time.
Yeah, since the 70s. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We'd like to thank some folks that have taken the time to click the PayPal button at PIDradio.com. We truly, truly appreciate it. Ken in Vancouver, thank you very much once again for your very generous donation.
And Lori, you know, just a friend of mine through the internet, a listener, love her. She's, you know, she sent, just out of the blue, sent some help saying, you know, I know you got some medical bills and I just want to help out. And I just want to, I've sent her a thank you note, but I also want to just say thank you so much and thank the Lord for people like you, for Lori and so many others of you who've helped us financially, helped us, you know, supportively with emails and letters and cards. And thank you to those who have been hitting your knees and lifting up our names. You know, the Lord must be so sick of hearing about us. And he just finally said, look, help him out. And I thank you so much for every one of those prayers because I got to tell you, I feel really good these days. I can talk. I mean, I can, you know, my jaw doesn't bother me anymore. My left arm, my left leg. There's so many things that were really, really hurting and just really dragging me down every day. And I have said this before, it's like I've woken up from a coma, and I just feel so very good. And I can actually color my hair again.
So
and
if you,
it's purple.
No, well.
And it's a lovely shade of purple, I might add you.
Yes, if you just look very closely at the left speaker on your computer there, you'll see.
No, actually, my Facebook photo shows you what it'll look like now. So there you go.
And via Skype, our call in line at country code 1-317-489-9350. We've got a call from Dennis in Florida who asked about angels and doing a program on angels.
I think that's a great idea.
It is, because there's a lot of attention being paid to angels these days, especially, again, by the new apostolic, this new apostolic prophetic movement. They're all about the angels.
Summoning angels.
Todd Bentley says that the healings that have taken place at his revivals are not done by the Holy Spirit. They're done by angels. I think that's borderline heresy, if not across the line. He also claims that the angel that guided William Branham to develop and promote the Latter Rain heresy is guiding Todd Bentley, which tells you all you need to know about Todd Bentley's theology.
I see.
But whether they're here in human form, well, we're told in the Bible that we should be kind to travelers and people who just come across our path, because in so doing, we may entertain angels unawares. So we don't know. But we do see in the Bible that there are angels that appear in human form. So I would say we'll
do a show on it.
Absolutely. And John in Virginia Beach called us again and had a very interesting comment. John, thank you very much for the kind words. John is an African-American, and we talked last week about this new Black Power conference that was taking place last weekend in Atlanta, Georgia, and pointed out that if we were to get past racial tension in America, Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson would be out of work. But by the same token, so would the skinheads and the radical right, if you will, the neo-Nazis who try to perpetuate the same kind of anger that we see.
Yeah, so, we've talked about this before, the whole Star Trek thing, the aliens that want to feed off, the negative tension.
The hatred and the killing.
The hate, exactly.
Right.
Well, the supernatural, the spirit beings behind the Bilderbergers and that bunch, they feed off the hatred.
Yeah, and John got it absolutely right. It is Ephesians chapter 6. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood.
Amen.
And, by the way, John, we totally agree that, as Paul wrote, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. So,
amen.
Skin color should not matter.
Or hair color.
Or hair color, for that matter. Absolutely. View from the Bunker, the podcast version this week, will be Dr. Future talking about the use of pharmakia, mind-altering drugs to open portals to the spiritual realm. Very, very interesting stuff, based on his talk at the Last Days Conference in Nashville.
And you had to say View from the Bunker podcast, because VFTB, View from the Bunker, is now live on Friday nights, 10 to midnight.
That's Eastern Time, GMT minus 5. And
it's a 5 or 4?
UTC minus 4,
that's
GMT
right.
minus 5.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And we do take phone calls, so this is an opportunity to get live on the stream. And those shows are also being podcast, so you can also download those if you can't stay up that late or if it's in a time zone where it's not convenient for you. That works out, too.
You just time shift and get it in.
Yes. Coming to you from the future.
Who is your guest this Friday night?
This coming Friday night, we're still working on that. Don't have
Sam?
It might be Sam. It might be 2 hours of me and Sam the Dachshund. So we'll find.
If I can stay awake, I guess I'll help you if you don't have a guest. But I'm usually about falling asleep by that time.
Well, we'll see how that works out. Again, trying to work on some prophecy discussions. I've exchanged a few emails with Bill Salas, author of Israelistan, because it seems that his research is very timely right about now.
Mm-hmm.
So, but until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. Older days will disappear. There's a new day coming. A new and living in the past. God can do a new thing now in a kingdom that will last. He'll make a way across your wilderness. Like a river flows in desert land. There's a new day coming. A new
Radio.